Blake, how old were you in 1990? This shouldn't be that hard, brother.
1 year old.
So, do you know who Snap is?
I can't say that, do you?
Does anybody in this room know who Snap is? I what's that? It is not Snap, Crackle, Pop. There's a picture of Blake on the Facebook. I won't make you do it.
I'm gonna look that up here in a minute.
Well, you know the song. You just don't know probably. Then again, you're young. But there's a video of him like doing some kind of high kick way up in the middle of nowhere. And if I knew I was going to be at this point, there's a song that I can't do it. But I need that higher end. I've got the power, you know. I've got the power. So I needed to know that I was going to be at this point in my sermon at this particular time, and that Blake was going to be here so that he could kick up and sing, "I've got the power."
You tell me, I can do it.
You have your Bibles, if you would grab them and take a look into the book of Romans. We're not going to be as long as normal. He said, "Yeah, right." I know, you don't trust me when it comes to clocks. But honestly, you probably could bank on this one because I know y'all are tired and just want to encourage you. Get a nap this afternoon and get back here tonight. We'll have our hymns sing. Won't be any preaching. It'll just be hymns. And then we'll have an ice cream social right after that. So just show up. We'll have a good time tonight. We've been working our way through a hymnal suggestion that you all have made. You made all the suggestions for that paper. We've got the paper thing, so we've got most of them in there. But just so you're aware of that. Romans chapter 1 is where we're at. And I'm going to flip through the first parts of this pretty quick because you've seen it all before if you've been here. We talked about the fact that Paul's kind of approaching this from a legal perspective, trying to give us some background and information that helps us to approach the book of Romans from a defense kind of standpoint. From there, we talked about Paul's credentials. And if you've not been around, let me just take a brief second. Y'all, Paul was not somebody you'd expect to be sharing the gospel. Paul was perhaps the least likely to be the guy sharing the gospel, considering he had been killing people who had shared the gospel. Hey, kids, I'm sorry. I forgot to dismiss you. They're all gathering the kids up. Sorry, kiddos. You guys can go to kids' church. Hey, Tweedledee, Tweedledum, next time tell me you want to go. If y'all know who that is, they're the twins. That's what I call them. Because I can't keep them apart, so I just, it's Tweedledee and Tweedledum, and I don't tell them which one's which. So I'm always right. But anyway, Paul was a murderer. Paul was was at the chief front of commissioning the death of many. He was a good Jew, sort of. He knew everything. He had all kinds of intelligence. But everything changed when he met Jesus. Everything changed when he met Jesus. But one thing I want to caution you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, please don't wait until what Paul went through to get to Jesus happened. Paul knocked on his backside, blinded, totally dependent on other people, out of nowhere. Guy was fine. You're knocked on your backside. Many of you know, most of you know, that I broke my neck when I was 16. And not long after that, I was preaching after I'd recovered and everything. I was still using either a cane or crutches at that point. But I preached a sermon that said, don't wait till God puts you on your back to look up. And see, you got that idea. That's Paul. Paul had to get knocked off his horse before he would look up and see who Jesus was. Then Paul begins in Romans here. He's the author of the book of Romans. He began to draw some connective tissue, and he talks about the fact that they are connected through various ways. Matt, I've lost control of my clicker, so I don't know what happened here. So can you help me out a minute? There we go. We talked about that the Christ he knew is the Christ of the Old Testament and the Christ of the Old and New Testament. This idea that Jesus became God, no. Jesus is, was, and will always be God. Amen. Nothing has changed in Jesus' status, okay? It's, yes, Jesus came and took on the form of a baby, became a baby, humbled himself, and wrapped himself up in human flesh. Yes, absolutely, that is true. But that's not when he became the Son of God. He always was. And Paul talked about the congregation, talking about who he's writing to. Rome was filled with there were idols everywhere, statues everywhere. If y'all think the United States is a cesspool, you should have been around in Rome. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, do I really think it was that bad? And the answer to that question is, yep, it was that bad. He begins moving from there into his confidence in verses 16 and 17, and that's kind of where we're at in this part. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, follow along with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man, or the righteous one, the righteous is actually how it looks in Greek, the righteous shall live by faith. You say, what on earth? You just talked about Blake doing a high kick and singing, I've got the power. What's going on with that? Well, the answer to that question is found in, as we're moving into the outline, what is real power? Everybody wants power. Political power. No, thank you. Yeah, I brought that dirty word up in an election year. You know, I think there's a couple candidates would be awfully surprised to find out that they had, there's a political process. There's a process that we participate in. And absolutely, I think every child of God should vote in this election. But you know what? I think it might come a surprise to both of them that it wasn't their idea to become president. Whoever it is, it wasn't their idea. God will set up who God is going to set up. We'll either get mercy or justice. You say, what does justice look like? A culture of death? A culture of disregarded people? A culture of division? And I'm not talking about the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm talking about the culture of the entire political system. So as we look at this, this is that word power. Guys, I need control of my PowerPoint, please. I need the power. I'm not doing that again, y'all. One time is all you get. Okay. This section, there is zero shame. I am not ashamed. We've already talked about that in detail. We're at this real power section. I want you to let your mind go here in Romans chapter 8. We'll get there later. Oh, by the way, are you still working on Romans chapter 6? Just for the record, Maggie has set the standard and she had 2 verses left to memorize. So some of y'all are behind. Some of y'all ain't even started yet. Romans chapter 6, we're memorizing it together the best we can. Therefore, you want real power? Therefore, there is now no, zero, not at all, nada, condemnation to anyone who is in Christ Jesus. Matt, I'm feeling you. I think I put them to sleep, or you did, and now I got to wake them back up. I don't know which. We live in a world that is critical and condemning and sarcastic and mean, and we're always putting other people down. All you got to do is spend about 30 seconds on Facebook. You'll agree with me. You don't even have to have the full three-minute TikTok to figure out how many people gripe and complain and condemn. There's something wrong with you. You don't agree with me. There's something wrong with you. I just want you to know that there is a pathway, not in the sight of other people, because people are going to be people, but in the sight of the God who hung the stars in space, the God who spoke and there was light, the God that formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed life into him, the God that took the rib from Adam from his side and created a woman and established all the parameters, that God you can stand before and not tremble, but stand not condemned. Not because, guys sang it, not because of good that I have done. It's not a... See, we like to do this thing in culture. I don't know if you ever noticed this. Well, I'm not as bad as... That's how we do it, you know. I'm not that bad. By the way, anytime you say I'm not that bad, you already lost the argument with me. Because you're admitting you're bad, you're just not that bad. How bad do you have to be to stay out of heaven? How bad do you have to stand condemned before God? We know John 3:16, many of you do, some of you don't. And I just want to say this right up front for the sake of a record. I don't believe everybody that's in here even really 100% believes there's a God out there. You've got doubts, you've got questions. That's okay. I'm glad you showed up. Believe me, I'm glad you're here. You may have come from maybe other churches where you've had your teeth kicked in and you're whether it was through some meanness or, I don't know, people doing what people do. And I know that not everybody is on the same exact page this morning. But I just want you to know, regardless of where you have come from, your problem is not where you are necessarily sitting today. The problem started the day you were born. Scripture tells us that we are born into sin. We are conceived into sin. Patty, I'm about to be mean to your granddaughter. Now, that little girl is an absolutely beautiful little girl. But I got news for you. She ain't nothing but a sack of sin. That's what she is. Now, you don't know that yet. But trust me, by the time you're two, you'll be convinced. By the time she's two, you'll be completely convinced. We don't have to teach kids to be bad. We don't have to teach kids to do the wrong thing. They do it. Mine. Some of you are still hollering that, and you've been married for 20 years. Whoa, Lyle. I'm not sure if that was the right spot, but we'll take it. Every person in this room was conceived in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Many people know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But continue on. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn it. But that the world through him might be saved. And it's really simple. It says, the one who believes is not condemned. The one who doesn't believe is already condemned. That's how we're born into the world. Already condemned. Already. I mean, I'm not telling you're a bad person. There's good, bad people. There's more. Maybe I say that's better. There's moral bad people. How about me say it differently? Moral, sinful people who spend their whole lives trying to prove to God and everybody else that they're good enough. But if you want to stand before the King of the universe, before the God who is, was, and will always be, and when he looks at you, he does not condemn you. It'll be because you have accepted his free gift of salvation. It'll be because you came to God on his terms. What's God's terms, Pastor? Number one, agree with him what he says about you. We already just talked about it. You're a sinner. Guess what? I'm not being mean. So am I. Everyone, all have sinned. Second of all, you got to believe what God said about his son, that Jesus came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived an absolutely perfect life. He died on a cross, the death that I deserved. He was buried and rose again. You say, Pastor, I was with you until that rose again thing. Listen to me. If Christ did not raise from the dead, let's pack it up and go home, y'all. Because Paul says, if Christ was not risen, we are miserable. And all of our faith is in vain. But I'm here to tell you this morning that he is alive. And we don't have to be miserable. We choose to be miserable sometimes. Believe what God says about you. Believe what God says about Jesus. Number three, you come to him by faith. Don't try to convince God anything. He knows what you don't even know about yourself. Just say, God, words don't matter. Signing a card, walking an aisle, we do a lot of things. That's not what's important. God, I believe that I'm a sinner. God, I believe that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. And the best way you know how, say, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and take over. Here's my life. In that moment, it doesn't matter how bad you have been, God will not turn you away. Not one person who has come to God for salvation has ever been turned away or ever will. And if you come to God on his terms, the first part of this verse is real power. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to quote the rest of that because I'm going to keep moving. 1 Corinthians, again, Paul writing. For the word of the cross is what? Try that again. The word of the cross is what?
Foolishness.
What does the world say about us? We're fools. You're foolish to believe in all that stuff. They don't get it, y'all. Cut them a break. Maybe they've not met Jesus yet. Look, it didn't make sense to you and I until we got on the inside. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are already condemned. But to us who are, what's the word? Say it again. Being saved. Now, we understand salvation has three tenses to it. There's a past salvation, the moment you received Jesus, the moment you prayed. There's a future salvation where we're going to be out of here, y'all. I'm liable to take a victory lap when I start thinking about that. I'm just watching. Y'all don't know what that is. That's hilarious. Y'all don't know. You've not been around any Pentecostal friends, or you've not been down south where the Baptists are, but basically a glory lap would just be me hollering and running all around this room. I know. Y'all just said go for it. I know you said it. I don't think I got the voice for it. I can't wait to receive my glorified body. I can't wait until my mind does not even think of sinful things. I mean, try to imagine for just a second what it would be like to not think the wrong thing, to not have anger, to not have lust, to not have bitterness ever even enter your mind. That's future salvation. But Jesus' death on the cross did not just pay for my past salvation and pay for my future salvation. It is paving the way for my present salvation as I am being saved every day. Held, not because I'm holding on to God. There's another spot, y'all. I'm about to do it again. My salvation is not dependent upon how strong I'm holding on to God, but how strong He's holding on to me. Amen. Scripture says nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hands. Ain't nobody going to pull you out of God's hands. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. You should be getting better every day. You should be what we call progressively sanctified. But I'm going to make a rather bold statement. And please don't hear this as condemning or harsh. I don't want it to come across that way, but I need to say this. There are way too many people, not necessarily in this room, but in the church, is who have said they were saved, but nothing changed in their life. Nothing. Not one thing. There's no desire for the Word of God. There's no desire to be in church. There's no desire to talk to God. And this is going to be the harsh part. That's not biblical salvation. Because God will take you as you are, but He will not leave you that way. Jesus' death on the cross was way, way too precious to say, well, I signed a card, or I raised my hand, or I prayed a prayer. Because salvation is transformation. Now you say, Pastor, I'm not very good. I didn't ask you how good you are. I'm just asking you, have you been changed? And are you being changed? Are you getting a little bit more looking like Jesus every day? We want real power. Years ago, I spoke at a church, actually out eastern Pennsylvania, and I was doing a spiritual warfare thing. And there were three witches that were there. Yeah, real one. Teenage witches on top of it. And afterwards, we had a good conversation. One of the things, I said, why do you do this? Why are you doing all this crystal stuff? And just, I'm not condemning you. I just want to know why. And all three of them said some form of, I'm just trying to get some control and power over my life. Every one of them. They're after power. Because at the end of the day, I don't care how buff you are, we're nothing but a bunch of weaklings when it comes to this life. We can't handle it. We're not designed to. You're not designed to put your nose to the grindstone and make it through. You're designed to be carried through by the arms of a loving Savior. Amen. These three girls, I wish I could tell you a better story. As far as I know, they didn't receive Christ that night. Even though they were real worried after the service because one of their friends who was supposed to join them to help gang up on me to see if I really knew my stuff, so to speak. They couldn't track her down and they worried that she might have taken her life. And I just said, all right, girls, I know you don't believe in this stuff, but would you let me pray for this girl? Because I believe that God has the power to keep her alive if she's thinking about taking her life. And I think God has the power to bring her back to her family and to bring her back to your friends. I have never seen three quieter girls in all of my life. They just stood there. And I prayed the entire Romans Road. No, I didn't. I prayed that God would save this girl's life and bring her back to her family. You say, Pastor, what's the rest of the story? Don't have the rest of the story yet. God writes the ends of those stories. Amen. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is get out there and share the truth. God does the saving. You ain't never saved anybody. You ain't never saved your own self. Power, control, I want it. But God has a different prescription for you. The one who will lay down his life will gain it. The one who hangs on to his life will lose it. You want real power? How about the third person of the Trinity indwelling you and hanging in on the inside of you all the time? If you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost moved on the inside. That's power none of it in this world knows what that looks like. We live in a world that wants just a little bit more. But I want you to know something. When God gives generously, graciously, above all we could ever imagine. It absolutely blows my mind. And I want you to hear me on the topic of what happened yesterday as I close. Pastor, where are all those people that were here yesterday? I don't know. Some of you may be here and I just don't know it yet. Well, Pastor, was it worth all that money? Was it worth all that time and energy and effort? Yep. You gonna do it again? Yep. Next year, we'll let you know. Has this thing been moving on me this whole time? Anyway, you say, why? Because I heard gospel conversations happening yesterday. I saw people praying with other people yesterday. There were people who heard the gospel in the concert last night. And if nothing else, this community will know that we're here and we love them and we want them to be a part of our church family if they don't have a church home. That's what we want. I'm going to leave the results up to him. We're going to do our job. I don't have the power to save them. I just know the man who can. I just know the one who can change their life forever. And if it's you this morning, God can change you. You say, Pastor, I don't understand it all. Listen, Matt said a little bit ago, we don't understand everything about Jesus. We're finite minds. But you can come with a childlike faith that says, God, I believe what you said about me. I believe what you said about Jesus. Come into my life and be my Savior. And God will save you today. And we'll work with you. We'll talk with you. We'll walk with you. We'll partner with you. We'll give you a Bible if you don't got one. We're going to help you on that journey. Our church slogan, the journey of faith built on the book. Everybody's on a journey. Some of you pulled off the road at a detour. Some of you are stuck at a rest area, but we're all going. But the only way that we can join the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the real dynamite. It's the real power. Snap may be able to sing it, but God's able to deliver it. He will change your life. He's changed mine. Would you stand together with me? God, I pray in these moments as we try to let you do what only you can do. I pray that you're speaking to my friends who are here today, whether they First time here, they've been here 30 years. God, I pray that they would hear your voice right now, not mine. Help them to hear that you love them, that Christ died for them, and you desire a relationship with them. God, may today be their day of salvation. For my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning are part of the family of God. Forgive us for unplugging from your power so much. Help us to stay connected to your word, to your people, that we might go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell it to anybody who'll hear. God, I pray for anybody in this room that's struggling, burdened, weighed down. God, I just pray these moments as we sing a verse of a hymn together, that if we can help any of the folks who are here today, give them the courage to step out and let us know that. We pray in Christ's name.